If you would turn to Psalm 139, those verses which were read this morning, we will be discussing. And this is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We do value human life, and it's very sad that there are those in our culture in America, and it's a growing number, who do not believe in the sanctity of human life. Now, they may say they do, but obviously they do not. We're going to show you why this morning. And again, the study sheet that's in your bulletins, I have extras here so that you might give these as an encouragement to others. Hang on to them when you discuss these truths with your children and grandchildren and for dope great-grandchildren. We really need to be able to get into the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. I'm going to mention a verse as we start, and that verse is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, who put light, darkness for light, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. When the prophet said that, there was no doubt what he was referring to. There were those in Israel at that time, as you're going through a tremendous time of rejection and rebellion against the Word of God. And when the prophet says, woe to those who call evil good, the woe on that means there will be judgment coming for the downright rejection of the Word of God. And that's why the prophet used the word woe. And it's used many times throughout the Old Testament as warnings that, listen, conduct in rebellion against God does bring judgment. Well, on January 22nd, 1973, the United States Supreme Court made a 7-1 7-2 decision on the Roe v. Wade case, which established abortion as a constitutional right in the United States. Now, that probably goes all the way to the top as one of the worst decisions that the Supreme Court has ever made. 44 years of aborting children, and we're up now to, I got some recent today, close to 60 million children have been aborted. More people, and they are people, than men and women have been killed in war, in the United States wars. 58,586,256. And many feel these, they're pretty accurate numbers, but there could be more. And of course, this law approving, making legal abortion, disregards what you and I call the sanctity of human life. And we'll talk about why we use that terminology. What is abortion? Abortion is the premature termination of a pregnancy. It's the intentional termination of a baby in the mother's womb. And we don't even want to think about, actually, the methods that are used to kill the baby in the womb. And these methods, and it is stated in a lot of literature that you can get from, obviously, pro-life groups, the methods or the procedures used to bring about the abortion can be and oftentimes are very harmful to a mother, both physically and certainly emotionally. Now, I want to say this right at this point. We need to keep this in mind because some of us in this room may already know someone who has had an abortion. And the point is that there is forgiveness available through Jesus Christ who died on the cross to pay for our sins. So we don't want to think that, and it's in your notes there, we don't want to think that abortion is the unpardonable sin. It is not the unpardonable sin. In fact, the passage that refers to the unpardonable sin begins with this, and I'm amazed how many times people have come to me and said, well, what's this unpardonable sin? Maybe I've committed the unpardonable sin. Now let's look at the verse. And the reference is Matthew 12:31a. Very important. Matthew 12:31a, Jesus said, therefore I say to you that every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people. Don't miss that. There isn't any sin that's been committed that cannot be forgiven. Except, well, Jesus said, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to go into details on that. The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed, and I believe primarily it was when Jesus was here on earth. But when sin is confessed and repented of, obviously, God is a gracious God. God is an awesome God. In fact, yesterday morning we were discussing in men's prayer breakfast what are some things we're thankful for. And one individual said, I'm thankful for the mercy of God, and so am I. We're thankful that our God's a forgiving God. We'll talk more about this. There is forgiveness for any who have had an abortion or who have encouraged an abortion through faith in Jesus Christ. Proverbs 28:13 says, He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes it shall have mercy. And I love verses like this. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, you are a forgiving God, a gracious God, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Lamentations 3, 23 and 24, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. We have an awesome God. Some of you have heard the name Carol Everett. I happen to have heard her testimony in person. How many of you have heard of Carol Everett? Okay, about eight people here in our fellowship. Carol Everett once owned and operated an abortion clinic. In fact, for many years. However, she came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now remember, she owned and operated an abortion clinic. However, she came to faith in Jesus Christ. And in her testimony, I jotted these down when I heard her with my own ears. She said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from sin, and his blood has cleansed me from my sin. And she said, I will not walk around with guilt. She said, guilt is not an issue with God, and he does not want it to be an issue with me. Where did she hear that? How awesome. You know, when the Lord forgives our sins, he forgives. Who is it that keeps reminding of us our past sin? The enemy, Satan. He's called in the book of Revelation the accuser of the brethren. And if you find sometime that you know you've had sin forgiven, and some things keep coming back up in your mind. It's not the Lord doing that, by the way. It's the enemy of our souls, perhaps through demonic forces. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience? So we need to remind one another. We need to remind those who were leading to faith in Christ. We need to remind those who are struggling with past sins. Listen, when the Lord forgave you, he forgave you. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So yes, there is forgiveness with God. I'm going to give you another name. Norma McCorvey. She is the Jane Doe in the infamous Roe v. Wade decision. Mrs. McCorvey came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she is the one who testified and said, I was used by feminist attorneys to make possible that law to allow abortions to be legal in the United States. But her testimony is powerful. In fact, she wrote a book. You can find it on the internet. She wrote a book. She said, I have been forgiven, cleansed, and changed by the grace of God. Wow, what a testimony. I mean, that's awesome. I'm going to repeat it. It's worth hearing. You say, oh, I know that. Well, let's hear it again. She said, the one who was used by feminist attorneys to allow this decision to be made by the Supreme Court. She said, I have been forgiven, cleansed, and changed by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Powerful testimony, really is. So now just quickly, let's spend a little time in Psalm 139. In this psalm, the psalmist is referring to the greatness of God, the awesomeness of God. Actually, it's a hymn of praise. As you know, the psalms were written to be sung in times of worship. And this psalm was written to praise the Lord for his awesomeness and for his greatness. In fact, the psalmist speaks of the greatness of God in three ways. He speaks of the omniscience of God, the fact that God knows all things. He speaks of the omnipresence of God, the fact that God is present in all places at all times. And he speaks about the omnipotence of God. And you know what's really neat about this psalm? Those verses that were read for us this morning, we talk about the power of God. The power of God is seen in the creation of a human being in the womb of his or her mother. How awesome. Well, let's just glance at the psalm. In fact, this is what I'd like you to do if you have your Bibles with you or open. I'd like you to glance at the psalm. This is an awesome portion of Scripture. It's one of the key portions of Scripture which we turn to when we're thinking about the subject of the sanctity of human life, the value of human life. All right, verse 139, 1 through 6, God's omniscience. And the point is God knows all about us. In fact, verses 1 through 3, He knows what we do. And by the way, these things are so helpful. They're encouraging. We're not lost to the Lord. You know, we're not wandering into the Christian life without the Lord watching over us. He knows what we do, verses 1 through 3. He knows what we think, verse 2. Wow. That's why the psalmist prayed in Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Some translations translate that, may the thoughts of my heart be well pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He knows what we think, verse 2. Thirdly, He knows what we say, verses 4 through 6. Now that's God's omniscience. All right, next section, verses 7 through 12. Let your eyes glance at it. It's beautiful. God is always with us. He is in heaven, verses 7 and 8. He is in the place of the dead, verse 8. He can be found by the farthest oceans, verses 9 and 10. He shines forth in the darkness, verses 11 and 12, where the psalmist says, darkness and light are the same to God. Every time I read that verse, I think of the guy who's committing a burglary and it's all dark and he goes in to steal something. What he doesn't know is God's watching every step he makes. He's not thinking about that. But you know, it's kind of humorous. You know, here's a guy, he feels he's covered by darkness and God's watching every move he makes. And someday this individual who performs this crime will stand before the Lord and have to answer for that. The third section, of course, is God's omnipotence, verses 13 through 18. And for this, you see that the psalmist says, God can do all things for us that are in His will, plan, and purpose. He knows all about us. He's always with us. And the third section, He can do all things for us. And then keep your eyes glancing at the text, 139, 13 to 15. God creates and forms our bodies within the womb. You know, you got to stop and think about this. Here's a woman who becomes pregnant. She has a fetus in the womb. And God knows all about that person. And you notice I said person. And He knows all about the development of that person. And God is involved in the development of the fetus in the womb. You say, isn't that stating it a little too heavy? No, it's not. Our God is an awesome God, and He's omnipresent. And it encourages us. It encourages us. We'll see some more things when we look at a little bit more detail. It encourages us greatly. In fact, I have to read this verse. It's Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, if you're taking notes, where the Lord said to Jeremiah, in fact, in verse 4, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb. Whoa, did I overstate the case that God was there when you were being born? Through the time of pregnancy? Did I overstate the case that God was right there, knowing that you would be born? Forming you in the womb? No, I didn't overstate the case. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. So He formed us, and He sets us apart. So wherever you are today, whatever your circumstances are, God had a role in guiding your life. Now, we'll see this when we get into details in this section of the psalm. But God was guiding your very own life. Okay? So now when we go to 16 through 18, this section in the psalm, 13 through 16, the psalmist is saying, God created me. And in verse 17 and 18, it says, He still thinks about me. He considers me. Look at verse 13 again. The psalmist says, Lord, You formed my inward parts, my inner parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, the interesting thing about this is this. The psalmist David actually knew nothing about what we call the modern science of embryology. Okay? There's a whole lot that we can know about the development of the fetus in the womb. He knew nothing technical about the mysterious process by which a baby grows in the womb. And yet, well, you looked at it with me. He is amazed at the wonderful development that takes place in the womb. And you say, well, why is he amazed at this wonderful development? Because the psalmist has discernment. And this is something we need in our lives as believers. This is the issue of today, the issue of abortion, and there's so many other issues that are out in our world today. We need, as believers, discernment. We need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from Your law. In fact, we could say almost every time we look at the Word of God, we should say, Lord, help me to see what's in there. And I'm going to really phrase it a little different here, that You want me to see. And give me discernment of what Your Word says about these issues and things that are happening out in our society. That's Psalm 119, verse 18, by the way, where the psalmist said, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things from Your law. And I know you've all done this. I rather imagine everyone in the room has been reading the Bible and you say, wow, that is really awesome. That really hits the spot of what I've been thinking about. Or that there's something that a need that I have in my life that God is wanting to supply for me. We used to sing the hymn, open my eyes that I might see glimpses of truth Thou hast for me. Place in my hand the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. The Word of God, oh boy, it's living, it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The psalmist is overwhelmed by what happens in the womb because God gave him understanding. He gave him, discernment. Now let's quickly look at verse 13 again. Repeat. For You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. The body, the human body, is by far the most complex and intricate design system in the whole universe. Most people have no concept of how awesome the human body is being created by God. In fact, a lot of people go the wrong way in abusing their bodies, not realizing that these have been wonderfully given to us to be used for His glory. And I think along the way we all learn more and more as the years go by that we need to take care of the body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I've heard even unsaved people on TV say, you know, the body's the temple. They've heard it. They don't understand it. But the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should take care of them. They're very complex. It's a beautiful design system. In fact, you'll notice he said, You covered me in my mother's womb. And I realize there's other translations on that phrase. However, the psalmist is talking about the amazing, efficient design of a protective chamber in which the fragile embryo can develop. An amazing, efficient design that protects the baby in the womb. Somebody said, I like how they said it, the tiny body is cushioned hydraulically. from injury when in the womb. And at the same time, of course, that tiny person in the womb is sustained and fed through the mother's body. And that's why you hear sometimes people say to a pregnant woman, well, you're feeding two people, so eat all you want. Verse 14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. The works of God seen in the development of a human being in the womb testify again to the great power of God. There's a lot of other areas that the psalmist could have chosen to talk about the power of God. When we think in New Testament terms, our being saved, you know, once we were lost without Christ on our way to an eternal condemnation, to a place called hell. But then when our eyes were opened to see that Jesus died on the cross for us, we were taken out of that kingdom of darkness and we were placed into the kingdom of God's Son, and we experienced the power of God. How awesome that is to experience the very power of God. That shows the power. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And it does take the power of God to save us, of course. The works of God. I like what Henry Morris, the founder of Institute of Creation Research, by the way, their headquarters is here in Dallas, and they're the ones that produce these DVDs that we're seeing on Sunday night. He said this, I like this. He said, mere power is not sufficient to produce complex systems. The development of a person in the womb could never be produced by simple availability of raw energy from the sun or some other source. What he's saying in essence is, we couldn't be here as a result of evolution. The development of a human being shows the very power and hand of God. The works of God. Marvelous are your works. The works of God are seen in the development in the womb. Also, he says, I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And that word wonderfully comes from a Hebrew word, which really means to be set apart. In other words, what the psalmist is saying is, yes, we all developed in the womb, but we're all different. We're all different. God made us different. We all have different ways, characteristics, appearances. All this is found in that one word, wonderfully made. And this is, of course, very, very true. Now, very quickly, on your study sheet, I want to go back and summarize the great truths regarding the sanctity of human life. If you have that study sheet, there are more on the piano if you want one on your way out. Number one at the bottom, God is the creator of human life and, of course, of life in the womb. What's the reference? Psalm 139:13. For you formed my inward parts, you created me in my mother's womb. Number two, all human life is sacred because God made it. Now that's very important. We use this terminology, the sanctity of human life. Why is human life valuable? Because every person born has been born after the creation of God in the womb, after the forming of the person in the womb. And man, well, we'll get to this in just a moment. It's in the paragraph right here. I'm going to read it. Under number two, all human life is sacred because God made it. All people are made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let him have dominion and have responsibility on the earth. Fish of the sea, fowl of the air, we are responsible to take care of our planet. Being made in the image of God is the essence of humanness or personhood. Very important. Multitudes of people do not understand this. What humanism? Those who believe in evolution believe that we have evolved from animals, and they fail to see the distinction between the animal creation and the creation of man. At the turn your sheet over, you'll notice on the back, we have the statement with regards to the fact that a fetus in the womb is a human life. and not just a mess of tissue, because it says in the Word of God that the same Greek word, brephos, is used to describe both a fetus and babies who are out of the womb. Okay? When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Call it out. Why did the baby leap in the womb? Because Jesus was coming in the womb of Mary. Very good. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in the womb. That would be John the Baptist. And babies, the outside the womb. Well, that's clear in Luke 18:15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. And of course, he blessed them. He prayed over them. He talked to the mothers. He talked to parents. He blessed children. He had children come unto him. He said, "Permit the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." Much in Scripture tells us of the love and the care that God has for children, of course, as well as the infant in the womb. Thirdly, God considers the unborn to be a person. I just have some statements here very clear. At conception, all aspects of humanness as defined by DNA are present. Abortion is the killing of an innocent person. Killing innocent persons violates the fifth commandment when the Lord told the people of Israel specifically, "You shall not murder." And he told the people of Israel, even though there were nations around Israel who were sacrificing their babies, even after they were born, fresh-born babies, sacrificing them to Moloch and Baal, putting them on the altar to be burned up, God said to the people of Israel, "You should not do that. You should take care of the infants." Point four, lastly, there is forgiveness for abortion. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ died and rose again to pay the price for our sins. He forgives us when we repent of our sins and receive Him as personal Savior. You'll notice this next statement. Abortion is a sin, but it is not the unpardonable sin. I give some examples. David, Moses, the Apostle Paul, and others remind us that God can bring healing from the pain of wrong decisions, from the pain of sin committed in the past, B.C., before Christ. But when sin is confessed to God and repented of, God forgives and He cleanses, 1 John 1:9. Lastly, you'll notice that bottom paragraph says, first, we must confess our sin to God, but then secondly, someone especially who has had an abortion should seek spiritual support from a trusted believer. Those involved in any kind of counseling know that it's very hard for a person to gain real spiritual freedom when they bury things in their innermost being, sins committed, and they can very easily be buried. But you know, when you have a trusted friend and you say to your trusted friend, "You know, I did this a number of years ago and it's still bothering me," you go to that friend and you have that friend pray with you. And the reference I give here is James 5:16, where it says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be," what's that next word? Healed. Healing comes when we confess our sin to the Lord, and sometimes it takes the brother or sister in Christ that you have confidence in, where you go to them and say, "Would you pray with me about something in the past that is still bothering me?" Very important. Lastly, quickly, sometimes people ask, "Okay, I totally agree with these scripture passages. They tell us that God created the person in the womb. I understand those passages of scripture. But what can I do with this abortion on the scene of our country?" I think there's three things. First of all, the first one is that the believer, we as believers, can pray. And we can pray for the overturning of Roe v. Wade decision by the Supreme Court. Now, some people you'll hear say, "That's never going to happen." Should we use the word "never going to happen"? No. With God, all things are possible. Well, we should continue to pray. In fact, you've probably heard this as well, that abortions, rather than increasing now, are decreasing slowly in number, but they are decreasing. So that's going to be tied into the next thing that I'm going to mention. We should pray for the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Secondly, we should pray for pro-life organizations. There you have the National Right to Life. You have the Texans Right to Life. And we have a new group here in Louisville. I tried to go see them this week. They weren't there. They have a new office over here on Edmonds. It's called ABBA, A-B-B-A, All Babies Born Alive. Of course, ABBA, ABBA Father. And it's a brand new group. Their main headquarters is in Gainesville, and I hope to get to meet them, okay? So you pray for pro-life organizations. Pray that God will bless them. And also pray for political leaders who can make decisions so that abortion doesn't run rampant in our country. Secondly, we can give to pro-life organizations. I really feel that's an area that's worth the giving. And yes, when we tithe and give our offerings, we support our church. Very necessary. But these organizations that are out there on the front line, helping women who sometimes they're confused. I talked to a woman on the plane a number of years ago. She was an airline stewardess. Had a wonderful opportunity to share my faith in Christ with her. And she started crying. And I said, yeah, what's your concern? You have a concern. She said, yeah, I do. She said, both my husband and my mother want me to have an abortion, and that soon. And I had the high privilege of sharing to her the fact that the baby in her womb was given to her by God. And then she said, and I say this not to compliment myself, but after the long discussion, she said, I truly believe God wanted you sitting in that seat next to me. And I do too. And I shared with her Jesus Christ. And of course, the third point is one, pray. Number two, give. The third point is we need to share the truth of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every time you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're saving, you're being used of God for a person to be saved to come to a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's what he wants. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the great truths of your word. And Lord, we know that probably all of us in this room have a pretty good understanding of how you value life. But Lord, we're so thankful on this Sanctity of Human Life Sunday that we can look at the passages of Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 1, Psalm 139, and there are others which encourage us to respect human life that comes from you. Lord, we're thankful that Jesus went to the cross so we can have two kinds of life, eternal life, living in heaven with you forever, and an abundant life here and now, John 10:10. And we know that the enemy of our souls, Satan, wants to come and kill and destroy and confuse. But Jesus came that we might have life. Lord, we're so thankful for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, would you do this with me this morning? Would you commit sometime the rest of today to pray for the pro-life groups, Texans United for Life, national life groups, our own local group here, ABBA, A-B-B-A. Would you join with me that we would pray for them, that God would continue to bless them, and that more and more little ones will not lose life here because of abortion. And lift up those who are in office. We all agreed, in fact, conversations before the morning service, that we have to continue to pray for those in leadership in our country. And before we close in prayer, it's possible there could be someone here this morning who's not yet born again in the family of God. The Lord loves you very much. He died for you. He died to pay the price for your sins so that your sins do not have to condemn you, that you can have a clear conscience. And so if you're not born again, we'd love to speak with you after the service. I'll be somewhat towards the front here. And come see me. Let me know you might want to pray. But I encourage you right where you're at to say, Lord Jesus, I truly believe you died on the cross for me and to pay for my sins.